I have notes tonight. I hadn't done notes in a long, long time, but I felt the Lord impressing upon me to do notes tonight. I hadn't thought about doing notes until this afternoon, and it seemed like the Lord was just laying it on my heart really hard. And so I'm doing my best to follow his leading. And as you can see from the title of the message tonight is Pursue Peace. Pursue Peace. Over the last couple of Sundays, the Lord has come into our service, and through Pastor and Jamie, and he's talked about healing and how it's one of the things that we need to believe for, it's one of the things that we need to talk about, and it's one of the things that we need to trust him that he's going to do. And when I heard that, I have been thinking about peace. And it seemed to me that one of the things that the Lord was is trying to get us to understand is that when he tells us something, we can take that to the bank. We can believe that. And because we can believe that, we can have peace. So we're going to begin tonight in Genesis chapter 15. And what I want to do is just walk through some passages, talk about peace a little bit, and the importance of peace as it relates to where we're going as the Lord leads in revival. In the Hebrew, the word peace is shalom. And it means to be safe, well, happy, to be completed. And I want you to think about the last three words of that definition as we go through Genesis chapter 15. Because Genesis chapter 15 is the first place where that word is found. Genesis chapter 15, and my brother Rodney gets on me all the time because I always put my glasses on top of my head. And he always says, you know, what is your head looking at? It's just convenient. So in Genesis chapter 15, look at verse 15. The Lord is telling Abraham, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. So God's telling Abraham that he is going to be buried. He's going to be buried with his fathers, and he's going to be buried in peace. Now, the question is, why would God say that? Okay? And we're going to read the first 14 verses of the chapter. And I want you to pay attention to the word of the Lord. I want you to pay attention to the word of the Lord. Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What was the first thing that the Lord said to Abram? Fear not. And then he made a declaration, a promise. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. Remember, we're going to get to, and thou shalt, verse 15, thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Verse 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what would thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir. That is a direct promise, a direct declaration that God made to Abram. This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. In other words, Abram, your heir is going to come from you. And he brought him, verse 5, forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Verse 6. Remember what God has said so far. I am thy shield. Thy am an exceeding great reward. God has said that the child that you're going to have is going to come out of your loins, which means it's going to be between you and Sarah. And then he says, if you can look at the stars and give me the number of the stars, that's how much your seed will be, how many children will come from your union with Sarah. But then verse 6, and he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted to him for righteousness. What did Abram believe? He believed what the Lord had said. He believed what the Lord had said. Okay? And he said unto him, the Lord said unto him, I am the Lord that bought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? So notice again, God is making them a promise. You're going to inherit the land. And he said unto him, verse 9, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Verse 12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety, Abram, you have my word, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Verse 14, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go down to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. God tells Abraham, because of what Abram said in verse 6, what the Bible says about him in verse 6, he believed in the Lord. God says, because you have believed me, because you have trusted my word, you are going to go to your fathers in peace. Now, the question becomes, whose peace is he going to his father's with? The answer is obvious, ladies and gentlemen. It's the peace that Abram had with God, because he did what God asked him to do. So God is saying, you're going to go to your father's with peace because you have obeyed me. You have done what I asked you to do. When it comes to peace, ladies and gentlemen, it's always first and foremost with God, between God and us. That's where all it's not between me and another person. It's always going to start with God. If I don't have peace with God, nothing else is going to matter. Okay? Nothing else is going to matter. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Let's look at Abraham a little bit more. And so, why did Abraham go to his father in peace? Verse 6 of chapter 15 says, Abraham believed in the Lord. Okay? In Romans chapter 4, verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and God laid it to his account as righteousness. Abraham believed what God had said. It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. Abraham believed what God had said. Okay? Now jump down 2, verse 16. Therefore, well, it's better without my glasses. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope, talk about Abraham, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall I see be, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, God was able to perform. Verse 3 says Abraham believed God. Okay? Abraham had come to the point that he had absolute faith, confidence, and trust in God. If God said it, then it was going to happen. Okay? The verses we just read from 16 to 21 tells us how Abraham got to verse 3. Okay? Verse 18 says, who against hope believed in hope. Abraham had hope when there was nothing, no reason in the realm of the natural to have it. He had hope when there was no reason to have hope. Are you following me? When we look at what's going on in the world today, it can be difficult to believe that we can still do everything God has asked us to do in spite of what we see. So Abraham, because what Abraham saw was his dead body. What Abraham saw was Sarah's dead body. So he had hope when there was no reason to hope, okay? That he will be the father of many nations. Why? According to that which was spoken. According to that which was spoken. So ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what you see in your life that is not in agreement with God's word. That does not matter. You have hope that God's word is true and that God is going to accomplish his word. Okay? Verse 19, telling us another reason that led to Abraham believing God and being not weak in faith. And being not weak in faith. Why was Abraham not weak in faith? He took God at his word. We know the verse, ladies and gentlemen. We know the verse. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So Abraham believed what God had said. Abraham believed what he had heard from God. Okay? And so he was not weak in faith. Look at verse 20. I love verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Abraham, he did not allow unbelief to cause his faith in God, his faith in God's promise to waver. He did not allow unbelief to cause his faith in God's promise to waver. That's important, ladies and gentlemen, because we are attacked on a daily basis with opportunities to not have faith. Opportunities to live in doubt. Opportunities to live in unbelief. We are attacked daily. And you know where it comes from in large measure? Every one of us in our home, we have this little box. It's called a TV. How many of you have watched TV and what's come out, what comes out of the, out of that box has filled you with faith, has filled you with so much encouragement. You are ready to go out and do everything God has asked you to do. There is nothing in that little bitty box that is going to encourage you, that is going to make you more faithful, have more faith. Nothing in that little bitty box. And for some of us, we also have another little bitty box that's even smaller than that. It's called a computer. It's called an iPad. And for some of us, that is a phone. We watch so much of that that we spend more time getting the world into our lives than we do getting God's word into our lives. It's an imbalance, ladies and gentlemen. The world, God's word. This is where many in the church are. And this is why many in the church are not living lives that resemble faith. They're not living lives that resemble peace. Because the world has much more opportunities to infiltrate their lives than the Word of God does. And, you know, and of course, you know, we all know why that happens. Because, you know, we work all day, and when we come home, we just want to relax. So we just turn the tube on. And just let it just dull our senses. And just let it put us to sleep spiritually. Because that is exactly what it does. But Abraham, he did not allow unbelief to cause him to waver in God's promises to him. Now, each one of you, you have something in your life that God has promised you. Each one of you. Not only is it his word, but it's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. And if you are spending more time outside the book, then it's going to be awfully hard to God, for God to keep his promise to you. Because God needs your faith. God needs you to be walking in lockstep with him for him to keep his promise. And see, that's why it says that Abraham, he went to his fathers in peace, because he knew that God was telling him, everything that I have promised you, it is going to happen. So you can go to your fathers in peace. What we are seeing in this example, ladies and gentlemen, that peace is related to God's word and believing it. Don't want to get ahead. Look at verse 21. And being partially persuaded, being 50% persuaded, being 99.9% persuaded. No, it says fully. That word fully means he couldn't be any more persuaded than he was. That is a testimony, ladies and gentlemen. Being fully persuaded, and I know I'm repeating myself, being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was also able to perform. He was fully persuaded that God said, you are going to have a son, and because you have a son, there are going to be nations coming out of you. He believed it. Abraham believed it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here because of Abraham. Because Abraham took God at his word. Oh, that's pretty good. He took God at his word. So what do we see in this passage? Abram's peace, his shalom, came from knowing that what God had promised, God would do. What God had promised, God would do. Now, how many of you, I know you remember the story of Joseph interpreting Pharaoh's dream. Remember how Pharaoh had two dreams? The first one was he had fat cattle that were grazing, and then he had, well, seven fat cattle that were grazing, then seven sick cattle came in behind them and ate them up, and then the seven sick cattle that had eaten the seven healthy fat cattle still looked sick, okay? And then the second dream was you had 7 ears of corn, wonderful ears, bountiful, and then after that 7 ears of corn came seven other sick ears of corn that ate the corn and still looked sick. And so that was Pharaoh's dream. And in verse 32, I think, yes, verse 16 of Genesis chapter 41, Joseph said, God is going to give you an answer of peace. He's going to give you an answer of peace. Now, I want you to hear what the answer of peace was. Joseph said, the two dreams are really just one. 7 years, you're going to have plenty. Egypt's going to have so much, it's going to have to build bigger barns and bigger silos to handle all of the bountifulness that's going to come. But then after that 7 years, it's seven more years are going to follow that. And it's going to be like the people will not remember the 7 years of bounty. It's going to be so bad. And yet, God told Joseph that he was going to give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Notice what the answer of peace did not include. It did not include the bad things not happening. The bad things still happened. I mean, they still happened. Okay? The circumstances still happened. And so, the answer of peace, ladies and gentlemen, was the fact that God told him what was going to happen. And it seems like we have someone who does that for us too. I think it's called the Holy Spirit. I could be wrong. Who would lead and guide us and show us the things to come. Does that ring a bell? Okay. So God was telling him, all this bad stuff is going to happen, but I have a plan. So the answer of peace was God's plan for Egypt that would impact Joseph's family. So godly peace is not an absence of problems. It's not dependent upon our situations and circumstances. It's not the absence of disagreements. And godly peace is not calm emotions. Godly peace, based on what we have just seen so far, must be accepted and believed because we believe what God has said. It requires submission, obedience to God and what he has said. And then it comes from a place of absolute faith and trust that what God says he will do. Remember I opened up talking about how we spent part of both Sundays talking about healing and how God had promised us healing. Jesus had went to the cross and died for our healing. That is what the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen. So the question then is, do you believe that is what the Bible has said? I mean, you read it, you know it, but do you really believe it? So, godly peace comes from a place of absolute faith and trust that what God says he will do, what God says he will do, he will actually do it. Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. When this verse says God has magnified his word above his name, is telling us, ladies and gentlemen, that everything God has written in this book, everything God has said in his book, he holds it above his name because he is the guarantor that it's going to happen. He is the guarantor that it's going to happen. So the question then is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Another verse, very familiar, Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Ladies and gentlemen, God says that everything he says, it came out of his mouth, is going to accomplish what he intends for it to accomplish. Okay? Do you believe that when you speak God's words out of your mouth, that they are going to accomplish the same thing? When we have faith, when we have peace with God, when we are walking lockstep with God, when God speaks and we speak it, it comes to pass. That's the promise. It's supposed to come to pass. It will be impossible to fully serve God if we do not have absolute, complete, and uncompromising faith that his word is true. Impossible. Impossible. Look in Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, look at verse 13. It says, now the God of hope. Now what did we read back in Romans chapter 4, Abraham said he had hope when there was no reason to have hope. Why did Abraham have hope? He believed the God of hope. He trusted the God of hope. Now, the God of hope fill you. That word fill means fill completely with all joy and peace in believing. Did you see the little tagline there? In believing, in faith, in your faith. When you believe, God can fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, when you believe. Why does he want to do that? That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. The verse says, and let the peace of God, let the peace of God. Who has to allow the peace of God into their lives? We do. No matter what's going on, no matter how bad it looks, we have the ability to let the peace of God. And what does it say? Rule. R-U-L-E. In our hearts. We have that ability, ladies and gentlemen, to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. To the which also we are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Most of the time, when we are out of sorts, when we don't feel balanced, when we don't feel stable, it's because we are not letting God rule in our hearts. We're not letting God's peace rule in our hearts. God can't do any more in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, than we allow him. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So it's not a peace that can come from any other place than from God. Now, in the Greek, the word peace is eirene. Eirene. And it means one. It means peace. It means quietness. It means rest. Plus, set at one again. That those last four words really got my attention. When we have peace with God, we are set at one again with Him. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse you're very familiar with. Verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith. Justified by faith, what does that mean? We accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we got born again. So we are justified by faith. Because we made that decision, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we were born again, we did not have peace with God. We were at war with Him. But now we have peace with God. Let me read this from the Amplified. It says, therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God, through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Peace with God is what matters. Our peace with God, from that flows all the other peace. Okay? Now let's look at the capstone verse. John chapter 14, verse 27. In John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus says, I leave peace, I leave with you. That word leave, it means to send forth. My peace I am sending forth with you. My peace I'm sending forth with you. Whether we let it is a different story. Okay? My peace I am sending forth with you. Now let's read this with that definition in mind. Peace, quietness, rest, and oneness with me, I send forth with you. My peace, the quietness, the rest, and the oneness with the Father that I have, I give unto you. That's what we have available to us, ladies and gentlemen. That is what we have available to us. And again, let me read the Amplified on this one. Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Isn't that neat? We know that godly peace is a fruit of our new nature. We see this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of peace is nurtured and developed the more we choose to live by our new nature. The fruit of peace is nurtured and developed the more we choose to live by our new nature. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is so important. Be ye renewed in your mind. Let me turn to it real quick so I can make sure I quote it properly. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay? Isaiah chapter 26. And we're going to run through these real quickly. Verse 3. Again, these are verses you know, but I'm bringing them to the forefront as part of this message tonight. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. How is God going to keep us in perfect peace? When our mind is stayed on him. When our mind is stayed on him. When we have more of this in our lives than we do television. That word keep, it means to guard or protect. Thou wilt guard and protect him in peace, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So when God says he will guard and guard us in perfect peace, when the plumbing goes out and there's water all over the floor, God says that if you keep your mind on him, he can keep you in perfect peace. When you're driving your car and you're going down the highway, coming home from work, but you work late at night, so it's dark, it's 9 o'clock, you have a flat tire, God says, if your mind, you keep your mind on him, you can have perfect peace. Are you following me? Okay? Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 says, be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your minds and heart through Christ Jesus. That word keep means it will be a watcher in advance to protect. It will be a watcher in advance to protect. To protect you from what? Thinking and doing things that go against the word when you face hard situations. Okay? I'm going to read the Amplified out of this one too, and this is the last time I'm reading out of the Amplified. It says, and this is for verse 7, and God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of his salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with this earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So you can have peace regardless of what's going on all around you. It made me think that what just came to mind, in 1949, Cecil B. DeMille, he produced a movie called Samson and Delilah. And toward the end of the movie, Samson he's standing between two columns, and he's pushing the columns, and the columns moved. And so the building then starts to crumble. Things start falling all over the people. The king sits there, and he simply says, Delilah. Everything was falling all around him, but he just sat there in calmness and peacefulness and said, Delilah. That's the image that just came to mind when it talks about whatever's going on in your life, you can have that peace. Two more verses. Psalm 34. Verse 14. Psalm 34, verse 14, it says, depart from evil. Well, let's go back to verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil. Now, when God talks about evil, evil is anything that goes against what he has said. That's really a simplistic way of looking at it, but that's a good way of thinking about evil. Anything that goes against what God has said. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. That word seek means to search out specifically in worship or prayer. That word pursue means to run after it. To run after it. So God is telling us that we are to search out peace, specifically through worshiping and prayer, and we are to run after it. We are to pursue it. We are to chase it. It should be something that we really are on a hustle for. Okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The word follow means to pursue with an earnestness and diligence in order to obtain. Now, why do we have to do that for peace? When we received peace, when we were born again. Because Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is. So, when you have developed the fruit, when you have matured the fruit, then that's when you get the love, the peace, the joy. It's a process, ladies and gentlemen. We're born with that seed on the inside of us, but we have to nurture it. We have to mature it in order for it to bear fruit in our lives. Okay? Now, there are three questions we need to answer. Why do we need the peace that Jesus has given to us? John chapter 16. Verse 33. Jesus tells us in the latter part of that verse, in the world, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, troubles, obstacles, things you don't like, things that bother you, things that are going to make you mad. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. How do we develop the fruit of peace in our lives? Go back to John chapter 14. We read verse 27 in John chapter 14, which means there was a verse 26. Verse 26 says, what Jesus said in verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So one of the ways we develop peace, Jesus tells us in this verse, is through the Comforter. And we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, that we pray in tongues. Okay? Praying in the Holy Spirit is how we access the teaching from the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 real quick. Verse 14, it says, verse 4. It says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, builds himself up. Builds himself up. But he that prophesies edifies the church. When we pray in tongues, we are building ourselves up. And Jude, verse 20, tells us that, but ye beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we build our faith by reading the word, believing what the word, what God has said, and by praying in the Holy Ghost. That is one of the things that I sometimes think we overlook, the importance of praying in the Spirit when it relates to building our faith and as it relates to peace. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. How? By praying in the Holy Ghost, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then one more question. Why is developing the fruit of peace in our lives important? Verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That sounds like revival to me, ladies and gentlemen. That sounds like revival to me. We build ourselves up on our most holy faith so that we can have compassion and make a difference in someone else's life. We can pull a person out of the fire, because we are praying in tongues, we have built ourselves up, and we have the peace on the inside that we can hear what the Lord is telling us. And I can't remember, I didn't write down the exact passage, but I'm sure you remember it. In Isaiah, remember when Isaiah was on the mountain and there was a mighty wind that came, and the Bible says the Lord was not in the wind. There was a mighty storm that came, and it said the Lord was not in the storm. And it said there was a still, small voice. And that's where the Lord was. Living in peace, living in godly peace is one requirement. Complete faith in God and what he has said in his word and to you personally. True peace, the peace that Jesus sent us forth, that Jesus sent us forth with, says it doesn't matter what it looks like. God's word says. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God's word says. The peace that we have, ladies and gentlemen, is that when God tells us something, when we believe it, then it's going to come to pass. That's the peace that we have. All the other things are side issues to draw us away from knowing that one thing. That our peace with God has to do with knowing what he said and believing what he said. Amen. Please stand.